Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
David Cruz in for Brian Lehr, who is out on spring break, along with New York City students whose week of vacation begins today. But for those of us who can only dream of warmer climates on this gray day, there are reasons to be optimistic. Last week, the travel search engine Kayak.com released an analysis of their 2012 data, which yielded some tips and tricks for frugal flying. Jessica Cassano-Antonellis from Kayak joins us now to explain their findings. Scott Mayerwich is also with us. He's the AP Airlines reporter and can give us some context for these numbers within the airline industry. Jessica, Scott, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
Glad to be here.
So, Jessica, what was the big takeaway from this data analysis?
So there were several big takeaways from the analysis, but unfortunately, one of the biggest takeaways was that airfare to all popular destinations increased across the board in 2012, all except Toronto, Canada. That was actually the only popular destination that actually decreased.
What's up with that?
I don't know. Scott, maybe you can chime in. Any clue why airfare to Toronto is down?
You know, I think what I'm seeing there is the growth of some of their low-cost carriers. Porter Airlines, which is based in downtown Toronto, not at Pearson, where most people fly into, has been really growing, as is WestJet, which flies a lot from that area down to Florida. So I think both of those airlines are kind of cracking the monopoly that Air Canada has.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Is it fuel? Is it overhead costs? Is it regulation? Scott, what's driving airfares up?
There are a few things. The first is, you know, if we go back probably 10 years ago, every airline wanted to be, you know, number one in a market. It was all about market share. These days, the airlines are focusing on the routes that actually make them money. So they've cut capacity across the system. We're talking 10, 15% fewer seats out there across the country. So basic supply and demand, you know, prices are higher. The other thing going on is we've had a lot of mergers, United Continental, Southwest AirTran, Delta Northwest, and now American and U.S. Airways. That means just fewer airlines competing on routes, so the airlines can charge a little bit more. And the final thing is just regular inflation. Labor costs are higher, landing fees are higher, and, of course, jet fuel is significantly higher.
This could be dumb question number three for me today, but, Scott, is there any reason to expect that airfares will ever go down?
I don't think we're ever going to go back to what we saw post 9/11. We had a lot of airlines competing on a lot of routes, and of course we had a traveling public who didn't want to get in the air. So those two things really drove down prices. We've been steadily increasing since then. I think the only thing is if jet fuel prices fall in half, which I highly doubt will ever happen, will we see prices come down again?
So, Scott, why? Do you know if the cost of sequestration cuts will get passed along to the consumer?
That's what we're watching closely. Right now, it looks like it's more on the security side where it's going to be a hassle. Some of these control tower closings might cause a little bit of a hassle here and there, you know, longer delays at O'Hare, which would eventually get passed on to consumers. But right now, it doesn't look like it's going to hurt the airlines' bottom lines, which would in turn hurt passenger tickets.
Any chance that we're ever going to return to being able to sit in our chair and not have our knees bump up against the chair in front of us?
If you're willing to pay extra.
I know, right?
I mean, Jessica, you've seen that out there. Mm-hmm. All these airlines are doing more leg room for an extra $5, $10, $20. I think that's mm-hmm. the answer.
Let's say you missed your opportunity for a big spring break trip this year. Jessica, when's the next good time to fly?
Yeah, well, for domestic travel, our data analysis actually showed that September is actually the cheapest month for domestic travel. The average airfare in that month is a low of $270. But for those looking to get away this summer and book some last-minute summer, or not even last-minute summer travel, I should say, but August is the least expensive month in the summer for domestic travel, according to our data.
Do the airlines control these prices, Scott?
I mean, airlines set the prices, and what you'll see is if Delta raises airfare $10, United, Southwest may or may not, and if they follow raising prices $10, it sticks. If they don't, Delta eventually rolls back that $10 fare increase. So airlines do control the prices, but if consumers aren't booking, you'll see the fares have to come down again.
I read somewhere where the price war are a thing of the past. Why is that?
I would say mergers are a big key part of this. There are fewer airlines out there, so you don't have that same price competitiveness. And an airline would rather have one or two seats go empty than have to really discount. But that's not even happening because there are fewer planes in the sky, and they're being filled anyway. People willing to pay $400 or $500 for prices that were $200 a few years ago.
Jessica, did you find out anything about New York area airports, LaGuardia, JFK, Newark? Do you know if one is significantly cheaper?
Our analysis looked at destination cities, but according to our poll, the New York-based airports, so either LaGuardia or JFK, saw an average airfare of $326, as opposed to Newark that saw an annual average of $358, so making it slightly more cost-effective to fly into a New York-based airport.
Anything to add on that, Scott?
Well, Newark is traditionally higher because United Airlines controlled 71% of the passengers coming through there back in January. They just dominate that airport. Southwest, Virgin America, JetBlue do fly in there, but it's such a small share of the passenger traffic out there. What I'm actually finding interesting are airports like Trenton, which has courted Frontier, which is the discount carrier out of Denver, and they're flying Chicago, Detroit, Orlando, Tampa, New Orleans out of that airport. And if you live in the southern half of New Jersey and you're willing to drive either to Newark or Trenton, Trenton can be an affordable option for people that business travelers might not do, but a vacationer would go for.
Ironically, we were talking about sequestration, which I couldn't pronounce. But the tower at the Trenton Airport is one of those that's slated to be closed because of sequestration, no?
Yeah, that's correct. That's one of the 149 on the list. Frontier says they're going to try to operate anyway or try to work around it. I think we're going to have to see how this all plays out.
So, Jessica, it's Monday. Is Tuesday still the best day to book?
In our early preliminary research on that, we did see Tuesday as one of the best days to book, but more so, consumers are going to save money traveling on specific days. So, for example, if you're looking for planning a week-long domestic trip, we recommend departing on a Saturday and returning on a Monday. You could get an airfare up to 16% lower than the average.
All right, let me leave it there. Jessica Cassano Antonellis from Kayak is with us, and Scott Mayerwitz, also with us, the Associated Press Airlines reporter. Thanks, both of you, very much for being with us today.
Thanks, David. All right.
David Cruz in for Brian Lehr on WNYC. Thanks for listening, and we will see you all again tomorrow.